Hi, it's Nicole Brandon with Hourglass Bride, and it's such a joy to be with you today. Last weekend was the first weekend ever that we did not have a show, and for those of you who have been following and who know, I was knighted last weekend, which was such an incredible honor. And we chose to honor truly the sacredness of that and the weekend itself and the relevance of that by not having a show and having all of the energy focused on the blessings for the world and all of the good that will come and that I can do with this title. And it was very interesting because they were saying that when they choose people to become knighted, that it doesn't matter if you're a Nobel Peace Prize winner, if you're a prime minister, or the work that you have done in the world, that they're not looking for people who are going to rest on the laurels, but they're truly looking for what you will do from this point on with that title for humanity, for the world. And so it was such an honor and such a privilege. And for all of you who have sent me congratulatory letters and these beautiful notes and who have reached out to me in the process of this, I want to thank each and every one of you. It really has been just such a special, special time. And now this week, it's so amazing to be back. And we're actually back with one of my very favorite people. So I just, it's so exciting for me to come back and to introduce her to you. Our guest today is, it's funny because when I met her, there's sometimes we talk about energy and this surge of meeting people and the people that have a radiance and a light and a wisdom and a knowledge and a truth about them. And that's really what happened. I met this beautiful woman who just sat across from me, and I thought, she's remarkable. She's absolutely extraordinary. And then as she was talking about what she was doing, she was talking about a project that she had and balancing the mother load and how you do all of this. And at that time, I was not even working with the bridal project, and I thought, gosh, I have to figure out a way to get this out to the world because she's so amazing. She's so truly amazing. And then since we've been doing Hourglass Bride, I've been stalking her. I've been chasing her down to become a guest on our show. And her schedule now is so incredibly busy that it's been months in the waiting to get her on this line. And we're so thrilled that she has the time to be with us today. And so I'm so honored and so grateful that she's here. And I'm so excited to share her gifts and her magic with you. Her name is Carly Cooper. She is an author. She is a speaker. She is a life coach. And she is the CEO of CarlyCooperCoaching.com, where she teaches people how to shift their mindset in order to deliberately attract greater health, wealth, success, and happiness. And she can do everything. She can do so many, many, many things. But the thing that really sort of pinged my heart was a project that she was working on that is now in full fruition. And it's a book called Balance the Mother Load, which is How to Reinvent Your Life in Just 8 Weeks. And this book has been so highly acclaimed, as Carly has, and her Balance the Mother Load genius have been featured in various magazines, publications, many television shows, and of course, she's here with us today on the radio show. In addition to coaching women entrepreneurs and professional how to balance their mother load, which we're going to talk about today, she has also taught hundreds of people how to apply the law of attraction to their life and businesses so they can consistently attract positive results. And I was talking to her at the top of the show, and I would love to bring her back onto Unlimited Life, onto our other sister radio show, and have her talk truly about, you know, how you go about doing that, the law of attraction and all of that. But today we certainly want to focus on Balance the Mother Load because it's just such an extraordinary idea. So I am so pleased, so grateful that, you know, we were able to track her down and bring her on for you today. So welcome, 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 Carly Cooper, to our show.
Well, thank you, Dame Nicole. I have never been introduced by a dame before. This is the first for me and an absolute honor. So thank you.
Oh, it's my privilege and my pleasure. And it's so exciting. And people don't realize when they listen to these shows, they think, oh, you know, we just have guests. It has been months, right, that I've been trying to track you down for this show. And
it's been a while.
Busy. And so I'm so thrilled that you have the time to be with us today. And I'm so excited because I was there when you were birthing this project. And now,
yes.
You know, a couple years later, oh my gosh, the fruition and the success. And so tell us a little bit about your background and how you even came up with this great idea, because I think it's one of the most genius ideas I've ever heard. So.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Well, you know, I was one of those people who, you know, basically finished high school and thought, what is my purpose in life? What am I supposed to do? And, you know, I did corporate and I did party planning and I did a scrapbooking business and I tried all my hand at all different kinds of jobs and I never really found my passion. And then when, you know, I was fortunate to meet my husband when I was 20, and you know, at the time obviously I wasn't looking for a husband, but my relationship was taken care of in my 20s. You know, I was very solid in that, and but I was always looking for my purpose and what I'm supposed to do with my life. And then when I was approaching 30, we had the conversation of, you know, are we going to start a family? Are we not going to start a family? If we are, we better start. And you know, I was one of those women that, you know, I had the idea and I just assumed that it was going to be easy. And it, for me, it wasn't. And it took about a year and a half of trying and seeing a doctor, a fertility doctor. And, you know, turns out that everything was working the way that it was supposed to. But I needed to have a surgery to find out if I had endometriosis. And turns out that I did. And once I had that surgery, I was able to get pregnant right away. I say right away, but it was a year and a half of the emotional and the physical and all of that stuff. And, you know, it's interesting because I never thought that I was born to have kids. I never felt like I was, you know, I say in my book that, you know, my uterus didn't hurt every time I saw a baby. I wasn't one of those women. And yet when I wanted to get pregnant, I sort of made that decision and I couldn't, then I was like, oh, okay, this is a challenge now. Now I really want to get pregnant. And my career, you know, my whole ambition sort of went on the back burner because this was my new goal and this was my, you know, what I wanted to achieve. And so when I couldn't get pregnant, it was really frustrating and, you know, for so many reasons. And then when I did get pregnant and I had my son and, you know, I was so grateful for him because I went through that process that I put all of my needs and my ambition and all of that on the back burner, which I now can say so many women do, right? I've seen that. I was that. And for the first 6 months, I was just consumed with him. And, you know, I have a wonderful husband and I have a great family who is supportive, but I didn't want to ask for their help because I just wanted to do this myself. And for the first 6 months, that was okay. And then I had what I write about is this defining moment in the six-month mark, and it was in the Gap, of all places. And, you know,
really?
I was in – yes, it was in the Gap. And I was there because, you know, I was 20 pounds – I still had 20 pounds of baby weight to lose, even though it was 6 months later. And, you know, I was refused to continue to wear my maternity clothes because it was 6 months later, but I still couldn't quite do up the zipper in my regular pants. So I was at the Gap trying to find those, like – you know, those elastic waist pants. They were the horrible cargos. They were horrible. But I was like, okay, it's all I could really do. And I went to pick up a size that I thought would be way too big. And I went to the change room and I couldn't even pull them up past my knees. I was like devastated. And I looked at myself in the mirror and it was the defining moment because I looked at myself and I truly could not recognize who I was anymore. And it wasn't just because I had 20 pounds to lose. It was because I didn't know who I was completely lost. Like that ambitious, go-getter, you know, person who I once was frail and fragile and frazzled and stressed out and overwhelmed and guilty and all of that stuff. And I was just like, who are you? And it was at that moment that it was almost just like things started to shift. I didn't know what I was going to do, and I didn't know how I was going to do it, but I knew something changed within me in that moment. And I sort of looked up into the, universe, and I said, what am I supposed to do? Like, just show me. Just lead me, guide me, just something. Something's got to give here. And it was pretty much going to be my sanity if nothing changed. So the next day I had one of those, like, okay, everything was shifting and orchestrating, and I got my answer. And it was, you know, it was around 2006 when The Secret came out. And, you know, I saw Bob Proctor. I'm sure you and your listeners know who Bob Proctor is, but he's a motivational speaker, life coach, all of those great spiritual teachers. And he was talking about, you know, how our thoughts change our results and all of that stuff. And, you know, I've always been a self-help junkie. You know, I've always read tons of self-help books in high school. So this, all of the stuff that he was talking about really resonated with me. And it was as if he was speaking my language. And then that afternoon, Oprah was on, you know, she had a bunch of motivational speakers and spiritual teachers and life coaches, and they were all talking about the same kind of thing, you know, how our thoughts and our words and our moods and our feelings have a direct impact on the results that we get in our lives. And I was like, okay. It was as if the sky opened and the angels started singing, and I was like, yep, this is what I'm supposed to do. And so I took a certification to be a life coach, and I decided at that time that I really wanted to make moms my focus, because I was able to get myself out of my rut, which is what I call it, because I am a self-motivator, and I do so strongly believe in the power of personal development and empowerment, and how, you know, our thoughts and our words really do have a direct impact on the results that we get in our lives. And so I was just sort of like, okay, now I'm going to just brush up on my skills. And I wanted to specifically work with moms because I knew that I was not the only mom who felt this way. And yet I was able to help myself. And I know that many women have a hard time asking for help, especially moms who are so busy taking care of everybody else that they neglect themselves. I did it. I know it.
What a wonderful niche. I mean, Carly, when you think about it, and truly, that's we've been talking for months on this show about when you get married and the fantasy and the fulfillment of the dream. And even, you know, very often people are marrying somebody that, you know, that has children, and they become a step-parent, or they're combining families, and all of a sudden they have this whole new world and this whole new responsibility, and their focus is on the new love of their life or on the new children or on the combining of the families, and the very last person that gets taken care of is the woman herself. And so I love that this is the niche that you've gone into.
Yeah. And, you know, it's really a, you know, it's the reason why I wrote this book, and the reason why I wanted to talk specifically to this niche, is because, you know, there's this backwards perception that, you know, I am a good mom if I take care of everybody else's needs first. And really, the reverse is true, that you are a good mom when you take care of yourself first, because then you have something to give. Right? It's like, you know, they say with the whole oxygen mask on the airplane, you know, you have to put it on yourself first before you can put it on your kids. Because if you've got no air to breathe, if you've got no oxygen, you are of no help to them, right? If you are running on empty, you have nothing to give. If you are unfulfilled and unhappy, then you are not showing up as your best self. And you are a role model for your kids and for your family. And if they are seeing you stressed out and unhappy, it's not the words that they follow. It's the action. And so, and you know, and I say this whether you have boys or girls, you know, boys, I have a son. So, you know, I am the blueprint of what a healthy and happy and empowered woman looks like. So moving forward, he knows that he needs to respect women, and this is the kind of woman he should be looking for, right? Moving forward. If you have daughters, you know, I mean, that's such an obvious thing, right? Like, do you want your daughter to be submissive and passive and docile and, you know, putting herself last? Of course not, right? We would never want that for our daughters. But if we are doing that and modeling that, that is all she's going to learn and all she's going to know. So it is so, I feel so strongly, and I actually get, when I talk about it, I get these like goosebumps as confirmation that I know that I'm saying something that's important, that a lot of women need to hear, is that they really do, with good intention, think that they're doing the right thing by putting themselves last, but it is imperative that they take care of themselves first, because, you know, it's such a strong message to give to our kids and for ourselves, right? For our own peace of mind and sanity and happiness.
Okay, so what does that look like as far as, you know, to say put yourself first, but, you know, you wake up in the morning and the kids have to go to school and you have to get breakfast for everybody and everybody has to be out of the house and you don't even have time to shower or put on makeup or to be able to, where does somebody begin to put themselves first, especially if they've been last in line?
Okay, and that's a great question, and I do want to stress that by putting yourself first does not mean abandoning kids or, you know, completely just making it all about you. I mean, there is the balance. But when I say put your needs first, I'm saying, you know, if you need to, it depends what stage you're at also in motherhood. I mean, obviously in the first 0 to 6 months, I mean, that baby is so dependent on you that it can be hard, right? My son is now 7, so it's a very different stage. So you have to know what stage you're at. But I would say even at the baby stage, ask for help as much as you can. So you can shower and you can pee by yourself, right? Because that's another thing. Like, a lot of women are like, I don't have time to shave both legs. And I'm like, well, then you're not asking for help, right? Because we should all have that ability to shave both legs, right? We need 10 minutes. But it's also, you know, doing things that fulfill you. So, or that make you feel good, whatever that is for you. If that's a hobby, if that's going out for a pedicure or an adult-only dinner or, you know, doing a hobby or working. I mean, there's that struggle of guilt of, you know, do I stay home or do I work? And the stay-at-home mom has guilt just as much as the working mom, right? It could be different guilt, but it's the same kind of feeling of like, oh, I should be contributing, or I'm not really happy and I feel guilty about that because what does that say, that I don't love my kids? But maybe, like, I could say, honestly, I am wired to work. I am not a full-time 24/7 stay-at-home mom. God bless the ones who are, but if that were me, I would be extremely unhappy. And I needed to get to a place where that was okay for me to admit. I completely adore my son, but for me to spend 24/7 with him would not be fulfilling my purpose. And then the ones who work, who feel obligated to work, but maybe they are more wired to be the stay-at-home mom, or they feel guilty for not making it to every soccer practice or every, you know, we have to find that balance and we have to look at what our lives are like and the expectation that we put on ourselves around that. So if we are a corporate lawyer and we work downtown, is it realistic for me to get home every day to pick up my child from school? Probably not. So we need to alter our expectation around what our life is like and the reality of that. And really just try and find that balance between what's important to me, what do I value most, and what can I delegate? What can I give up? What can I, you know, share with some, or give to somebody else and be okay with that?
And that's what I think one of the things that, you know, we've talked about and is so important in a relationship is finding out what you love to do, mm-hmm. and taking on that responsibility, and the things that don't bring you joy, being able to delegate. But what you know, many people don't realize is what brings them joy can really help somebody else. Can be, you know, yeah. So And, you know, and we've talked about this in one of the other shows, is that I love to do laundry. Like, I'm silly crazy. I mean, I could do laundry forever. It's just, I love the smell of the warm clothes. They're like, for me, it's very, other people can meditate. I can do laundry and come up with, like, amazing ideas and things to sell in the world and the planet. And that, for me, is such a solace time. And I would be happy to, like, do other people's laundry if they would answer my emails, you know, because for me to have to like go through emails is excruciating because I'm just not, you know, enjoy being on the computer. And so sometimes, you know, if you enjoy, you know, taking children to the park or you enjoy, you know, food shopping or whatever that is, and if you can do that for other people and somebody else can drive or, I mean, finding those other people in your area that you can delegate to but that you can be helping them in the process in your joy.
It's so funny that you say that because this is just, this happened last night. We were at friend's house for dinner and my son was there with us and playing with her kids. And, you know, they made a beautiful dinner, and at the end of the dinner, the kids wanted to go outside to play, and I was like, and, you know, they were like, come outside and play, and I am not a player. Like, I can sit down and do a craft or do a puzzle, and but if you say let's go to the park or let's play tag, like, ugh, that is not for me. So what did I do? She went out and played, and I was like, I'll do your dishes. She's like, really? I'm like, yes, I will do your dishes. Give me, and it's like when you were saying that about laundry, like, I can get lost in doing the dishes, right? Like, the warmth on my hands, and, like, it's almost meditative for me. I was so happy. She's like, are you sure? I feel so bad. I was like, trust me. You play with my kid, I'll do your dishes. And it was like, okay. And it was, we were both happy, and it was great. So it really is finding what brings you joy and delegating what doesn't. Now, of course, there are times when I suck it up and I play with my kid, right? Of course. But, you know, if we can find other things, like, for example, you know, there's that rainbow loom thing going on, that like crazy thing with the bracelets. And anyway, it's a whole big thing. I don't know if it's hit the States yet,
no,
but it's in Canada. It's a crazy big thing.
What is it?
It's like this plastic loom, and there's all different colors, elastics, and I'm sure it's in the States because I'm watching all these kids on YouTube do it. And anyway, so we have one, and my son asked my husband to sit down and do it with him. And my husband's like, I do not have the mind for this. Like, I can't do it. And yet he'll build forts, he'll do all that stuff that I do not have the mind for, and I will sit down and do so, and I'll happily do the rainbow loom with him. So it's true. It's like if you are fortunate to be in a relationship that's a true partnership, you know, it's like I will sit and do these things, he will sit and do those things, and it's good. We're all good. So it's finding, we don't have to be good at everything, and we don't have to like everything. Find the things that you're good at, that you like doing, and delegate the rest if it's possible.
That's so great. I still remember the cover of everything being juggled, you know, from your book and when you were working on images. And I love the idea of being able to manage everything. And then why 8 weeks and how 8 weeks? When you say reinvent yourself in 8 weeks, I love that there's a time connected to it because people can say, oh, this is impossible. You know, I can never do this. And yet they can. And there's a system.
The way that the book is set up, reinvent is actually an acronym. So, you know, it's each week is takes you through the first letter of reinvent. So I'll just share and break it down for you. So week one, the R in reinvent stands for redefine motherhood. And my book has a lot of questions and actions. I'm all about taking action, right? Like you can read all this great stuff, but I call it shelf help if you just read it and do nothing with it, because then it just sits on a shelf, right? So in order to really have changes in your life, you have to take action and you have to do things differently than you were doing before. So my book is very action oriented, and the whole point is for you to think, right? To think and then do. So the first week is redefine motherhood. And this is where, you know, I get you to really check in with your values and morals and think about what is truly important to you, and redefine motherhood so it fits who you are. Because we so often look to how our mothers did it or how our sisters are doing it or our best friends or societies or, dare I say, celebrities, right? And we're trying to fit into that mold. And for some, it just doesn't work, you know? And so we really have to get clear about what is important to us, how do I want to raise my kids, how, you know, what do I value most, and then redefine how motherhood, right? It's not a cookie cutter thing. It, what works for me might be off the wall for you. So, and that's okay. We just have to find our own way and then own that. So that's the first week. The second week in the E is envision your ideal life. So in order to attract whatever you want in your life, you need to have clarity around what that is, right? It's like if you were to go into a restaurant and the waitress or waiter asked you, what do you want? And you said, I don't know. Then there's no possible way they could bring you anything what you would want. If you say, well, I'd like a salad, then you're getting clearer, but there could still be 15 salads on the menu. So the more clear you can get in what you want, then you will start to attract that, deliberately attract that into your life. So, you know, and that's whether you want a career or, you know, how you want your family to be or your relationships or anything, right? Anything that you want. But it's really getting moms or women to think about their lives again, right? Because we're so busy thinking about everybody else. It's like I always say, you know, I see all these women driving their kids towards their dreams, but who's driving you to yours? Right? So we have to drive ourselves to our own dreams. Nobody's going to do it for us, especially at this stage of our lives. So we have to be our own advocates here. And we have to start thinking about what we want. And my goal is for to get through to these women, not when their kids are 18 or off in college, but now, because now is the time. Right? Because the way that the world is now, the kids come back and they stay for a long time. So we need to really just, you know, the time is now. Let's start to just think about our lives again. And then week three is improve your relationships. Now, these could be with your partner. It could be with your sibling. It could be with your mom. It could be with anybody, you know, any area, any relationship in your life that you feel at that particular time needs improvement. Now, majority, it will be with their partner only because that is the closest relationship. And a lot of the times when you have kids, that's the relationship that tends to also get put in the back burner, right? Whenever I do workshops or seminars, you know, I always ask, you know, in what order would you rank the order of now, I say importance in quotes, but, you know, would you say who goes first, baby, you, or husband or spouse? And most often, the most common answer would be baby first, husband, and then me last, right? And I always say, okay, the way that I recommend is, you know, again, obviously after basic needs are being met and kids are fed and, you know, all of that safety stuff is done, you know, you first, then partner, then baby. And there's usually like this big gasp, like, oh, how could I possibly neglect? But it's not about neglect. We've talked about why you're the most important, right? Because you can't give what you don't have. We know that. Now, the relationship is also extremely important because you are the blueprint of a healthy relationship. And when you two are working together as a team, then everything functions better. And the kids pick up on love and affection. Kids pick up on energy, right? We know that. We know that because when a baby can't communicate, they can still sense energy. Right?
Absolutely,
so it's a very, very strong thing. So we need to really work together as a team, communicate, be supportive of each other, you know, and so that's really what that chapter is about. But again, if your relationship is in a good place, it's not about looking for things that aren't there. You can apply a lot of this stuff with other relationships in your life. And then week four is nurture yourself. And, you know, we talked about why that's important and different strategies and different ways to take care of yourself. And, you know, and that could be physically, emotionally, spiritually, you know, any kind of way that you need it. And then week five is a big one. This could be a whole book on itself, but it's vanquish mommy guilt. You know, that is such a huge epidemic that is, you know, upon us. And I always say, like, I feel like women are born with the guilt gene, and then you become a mom and it, like, multiplies like a gremlin. And, you know, it's like I remember saying one time, I feel guilty for not feeling guilty. Like, what's wrong with me? Should I feel guilty about this right now? And I'm like, no, it's such a useless emotion. And, you know, we do it because we're punishing ourselves for something, or, you know, but it doesn't change. It doesn't lead us to anything positive, right? So this chapter is all about, is my guilt justified? If it's not, how can I, which I would say 9 times out of 10, it's not justified. How can I let go of it? How can I diminish it? You know, this isn't about you'll never have another bad feeling again. You'll never feel guilty again. Of course, we're human and we're going to make mistakes. But when we have the tools and the strategies to become aware of the mistakes and then learn and grow from them, then we stop repeating the same mistakes. We'll make new ones, but then we'll learn from those, right?
Right, but how does somebody even know that sometimes that it's guilt? Because very often people are just going through and they think, well, this is the way it's supposed to be. You know, that, gosh, I should have gotten, you know, different kind of construction paper, or I should have known that, or I should have seen the note in the knapsack for the school outing, or it's people take on that they should be superheroes, mm-hmm. and then they're mad because at themselves for not being able to do everything, and they don't even look at it as guilt. They look at
well,
it as...
Well, that's week six, which is expectation overhaul. So, you know, when we put this all on ourselves and we expect to be perfect and we expect to do it all right and we expect to be on top of everything, these are unrealistic expectations. And when we strive for perfection, we will always fail because we know logically that perfect doesn't exist, but yet we still strive for it. And so you constantly set yourself up to fail when your expectations are unrealistic. And so what I mentioned before was really just checking in with your life, what you're good at, what you want to do, what you can do, what you're capable of doing, and then see how that fits into your life. So I am not the I will make a costume kind of mother. I am I will buy a costume and pull off the price tag kind of mother. Okay, if I remember to pull off the price tag, maybe not all the time. But I know that about me, and I own that, and I'm okay with that. So if, you know, I see somebody else who works really hard and whose daughter shows up with a handmade, you know, beautiful, authentic costume, I bless that mother, and I say, good, if that brings you joy to bedazzle all night, go for it. Amazing. You know, if you're doing that because you feel you should, then here's my card. Let's talk about that. Because, right, I think it's really important to stop comparing ourselves to other people, to what we think we should do. Like, we need to stop shoulding on ourselves. We really do. And we have to just own who we are. And this, I mean, all the chapters kind of tie into all of them, because this is where I could go back and say, okay, what's important to me? What are my values in redefined motherhood, right? And if my values are to just spend fun quality time with my son versus, you know, feel that everything he owns needs to be handcrafted by me, then I'm doing okay because I'm quite okay with buying everything for him, you know, versus me feeling like I have to do it or that I have to bake everything from scratch. I'm quite okay going to the supermarket and picking it up. And maybe I'll put a little icing on my nose just for good measure and make it look like it. But do you know what I'm saying? Like, you just really have to just make light of the situation. And I think we have to look at the reason why we had kids in the first place. right? Like, did we have them because we want to impress the world or live vicariously through them, or because we want an extension of joy? Or, you know, so it's like we have to just really check in with ourselves, and this is like a universal statement that we have to tell ourselves the truth. Even if you don't tell anybody else, you have to just be honest with yourself. And the best way to do that is to check in with your feelings. And the easiest way, the easiest question you can ask yourself is, does this feel good to me or does it feel bad for me? And if it feels good for you, it is. And if it feels bad, it's not in your best interest. And then you have to just reevaluate. Look at the reason why it feels bad. Does it feel bad because I feel like I should do this? Does it feel bad because I'm hoping that people will like me better, or it'll make my sense of self-worth feel more, or I'm feeling trying to gain approval from other people, right? When we start to play that game, we're not doing what's authentic to us. And the more we get away from that, the more we are getting away from who we truly are and our joy.
And I love the question that you asked as far as why do we have children in the first place? And to really focus on that child being an extension of joy in our life, and then through that joy, everything else will be birthed and comes through. And I think that's brilliant. It really, really is. And last night, I was so honored and so blessed. I went to see Sam Harris perform, and he's actually doing a book tour, but he's singing. So he's, mm-hmm. you know, reading and then also doing his songs. And he was talking about the fantasy and in his head of pushing his baby, having a baby someday, and pushing the baby down the farmer's market and having people stop and see how gorgeous this child was, and people not even to be able to speak, and, you know, just to, and the what he'd be wearing when he had that vision. And then finally the day came when he had a child and he was going to push this baby down the farmer's market, and he wore exactly what he thought in his head. And as he pushed the child and even put the rim up so people could see the baby, and when he pushed the child down the aisle, that nobody really paid attention. People were busy doing their own lives, and it wasn't at all what he expected, but what he realized was how wonderful that it was a greater gift, because seeing a happy family with their child was something that people were used to in this world, to actually see happiness, and that was even the greater gift, that joy would be commonplace was the greater lesson and gift. And I thought that was an amazing lesson last night when he talked about that. And so I love the idea of that child being an extension of joy, and that why can't that be the gift instead of, like you're saying, yes. That's brilliant, Carly.
Thank you. So, you know, just to continue, so week 7 is Nick's negativity now. So this is where we get into the mindset, right? Because I believe mindset is 90% of the game, right? It's like you could be the most educated, you could, you know, have a great inheritance or whatever it is, but if you don't believe in yourself, if you think negative thoughts, if you have limiting beliefs, or doubts, or you're sabotaging yourself, or whatever. And a lot of the times, look, a lot of the times we aren't even aware that we're doing it. But you know, if you don't believe in yourself, or you're walking around with a negative, you know, a lot of the negative mind chatter, which we all have, then you're going to stay stuck. That's just, you know, as blunt as it is, mindset is everything. So this is where we start to, you know, get under the hood a little bit and start to think, okay, you know, what are my limiting beliefs? What do I really think? Is that something that I'm taking on as the truth, or did I just hear that when I was a child and I'm replaying that story and I'm staying in the victim mode or whatever it is, right? And we all have something. I mean, you know, I teach this stuff, but I still have my stuff, believe me. But
can you give us an example of what a limiting belief would be like, so somebody can say, gosh, you know, I've thought that and didn't realize that that was a wall or a gate that was stopping.
Yeah,
me
I mean, look,
forward.
There's a lot of people have limiting beliefs around their ability to make money or to be, you know, to work for themselves or to lose weight or, you know, I'll never find my soulmate. How many times have I heard that? There's no guys out there for me, right? Or I'll always be overweight or I'll never make enough money. I'll never be able to afford that. Those are all limiting beliefs. And, you know, these come into our head usually at some point in our childhood, right? And this isn't about blaming our parents or our teachers or the kids in our class or whatever. It's not about blame. It's just this is how it got into our head. And usually there's like a defining moment, like you'll remember something that somebody once said to you, whether it was ill-intentioned or not. You just internalized it and made that your story. And that's the tape that keeps playing over and over and over again. So, you know, for example, you know, maybe someone grew up and everybody in their family was overweight. So they were told, you know, oh, you've got your mother's body and everybody in your family's big, so you'll always be big. And then you grow up hearing that, assuming that, believing that, and so every decision that you make around food or lack of exercise or whatever, you just take on that belief and you continue to gain weight or are faced with health issues. But when you can start to break down those barriers and realize that, you know, that's just a story and stories can be rewritten and you are essentially the author of your story. So you get to choose how it ends, right? And so, you know, it's breaking, it's first becoming aware of it because a lot of these thoughts are in our subconscious mind. And, you know, there's the conscious mind and the subconscious mind. And our conscious mind is like what we're aware of. And the subconscious mind is every single thought and belief and every piece of data that we've been that have been thrown at us throughout our entire lives is stored in our subconscious mind. And a lot of the times we aren't even aware of it because it's just so much. And so, but unfortunately, if we're thinking one thing, right, we could be thinking, oh, okay, yeah, I'm going to lose 20 pounds. But in your subconscious mind, your story is, but you're always going to be fat because your family's fat. The subconscious mind wins. So it's really about bringing those subconscious thoughts to the surface, breaking through them, and then doing the work to reprogram. So I always like to say to my clients, you know, like your mind is like a hard drive. And it's, you know, we all have the viruses somewhere in our hard drive. So we've got to clean out the virus. We've got to reboot and reprogram, right? We've got to reprogram with better beliefs and healthier stories and healthier thoughts and positive thoughts. And, you know, it's that kind of idea. And then week 8 is time management tune-up. And this is where we talk about, you know, delegating and working on your strengths as opposed to, you know, trying to improve your weaknesses. It's what's the point? Like, I'll never be good at math. So I'm not even going to try with that. I'm just going to work on the stuff that I'm really good at and delegate all that other stuff that I'm not. And most people spend more of their time doing stuff that isn't their genius, that brings them down, that drags them, you know, that they dread, versus the stuff that brings them joy and that they're really good at. Because they feel like, oh, that comes naturally to me, so I should try and improve on these other things. It's about continuing to craft your genius and work on your genius because that's going to bring you more joy. And when you project an energy of joy, you have no choice but to attract more of it. That's just how the law works, and I know that's for a different show, but
no, well, definitely going to bring you on to Unlimited Life to, you know, talk about the law of attraction. But these steps that you're talking about are so important, and I love the fact that you can find what a limiting belief is, put yourself first, really give to yourself in a nurturing way that will only enhance the life of your children and the life of your mate. And so you can have that happily ever after. And I love that it's an 8-week process. And it's something that people can actually, like you're saying, do not just read a book and then stick it under your bed and hope that that information will somehow permeate when you're sleeping. And then how does somebody find you, and at what stage do they find you? Do they, before they even have children, should they find you when they feel like their life is spinning out of control?
Well, you know what? I say yes, yes, and yes. Because, you know, if whenever someone, wherever they are in their life, whether they're single, whether they have kids, whether they're pregnant, whether their kids are moved out, when they are at a place where they are seeking change, or they know that they're here for something bigger, they're just stuck right now, that is when I say reach out. Because, you know, you can't change if you don't want to change, right? There's some people who think that they want to change, but they're not willing to do the work, or they're not ready to face it. And, you know, and I say it's work, right? This isn't a quick fix. This is a journey. It truly is a journey. And, but I can promise you that if you show up and you're open-minded and you're open to change and you're ready to face whatever it is, then you will absolutely experience magic, because that's what change is. It's like a, you know, people are afraid of it, but I look at it as like, well, if there wasn't change, there'd be no butterflies, right? And look how beautiful the butterfly is. And so we have to be willing to take that metamorphosis and to go through that waiting period, but also do the work to make that change. So, you know, I always say if you're aware that you're unhappy and you're tired of being unhappy and you really know that you're here for a bigger reason, you might not be sure of what that is, and that's okay, right? That's part of the process. But you're ready to make a shift, then that's when I say, and to me, it doesn't matter if you have kids or not, right? It's at whatever stage of your life. I mean, I've had clients who are single in their 20s, and I've had clients who are, you know, their kids are married with kids. So, and it's anything in between. So, you know, even though I did start off with the niche of mothers, you know, I find that it's shifted, and by default, most of my clients are mothers for sure. But it's who I'm attracting right now are people who are just ready to make a change.
That's great. And I would imagine that also a mother whose child is going to college, and we talk about that empty nest, and then they're discovering who they are. And now they have time to actually focus on themselves and their dreams and their lives. And where does one even begin with that? When you've sort of tucked your own dreams away for 17 years or 18 years, and when you're just opening that box again in a new time frame and a new period and then a new age, and how do you bring those dreams back to life? And how do you step into the life you know you were meant to live? And so I would imagine that also would be a wonderful time to reach out to you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And for the you know, the generations before that, I'm trying to get to them now so they don't end up in that predicament 20 years from now, right? So, I mean, you know, I've heard from a lot of women who you're describing saying, where were you 20 years ago? And I said, well, I'm here now.
Right.
You know, so... So yeah, it truly is for all those stages that you talk about.
That's great. And then how does somebody find you? What is your website, or can they email you? And do you work on Skype for, you know, because we have people everywhere that are listening to this show, and, you know, we love to know how people can work with you.
Thank you. Yeah, my website is www.carlycoopercoaching.com, and it's C-A-R-L-Y. COOPERcoaching.com. I do my private coaching over the phone. So I am international that way. And, you know, I do live seminars and workshops. I live in Toronto, Canada. But, you know, if you're willing to travel, or I would, you know, if you want to bring me out, I'd be happy to, you know, talk to anybody about that as well. But, yeah, my coaching is done over the phone, so it makes it really easy to, you know, to accommodate the international clients as well.
That's great. And then how about your book? How do we find your book, which I just love?
Thank you. Yeah, if they go to the same website, CarlyCooperCoaching.com, on the menu there is something, a tab that says book. They can click on that and they can order. You can also order on Amazon, but, you know, they could go to my website and order it from there as well.
I love this idea of reinventing yourself in 8 weeks, and I love finding that balance. And I love the balance of motherhood, and also being able to use the principles of the law of attraction and that vision in your life, that creation, that letting go of old beliefs, that, you know, faith and trust, all of those things that, you know, that you've woven together in such a beautiful tapestry of one will call happiness and balance.
Yeah, and you know what, I like to really just stress this because, you know, so many people ask me, you know, is balance even attainable? Like, can I ever really get balanced? And, you know, I think finding a perfect balance, again, we come to that perfection, and no, I think that, you know, are we ever in perfect balance? Probably not, but we can get to a place that feels good and feels comfortable for where we are right now, you know, because life moves, right? So it's like you could feel really balanced in one moment and then something shifts and then you might feel a little off balance again. And so we have to be willing to be able to go with the flow of life, right? And as we know, there are ebbs and there's highs and lows, just like a tide, right? There's high tide and low tide. And so the goal in life, I think, is, you know, to stop expecting to always be in the high, because that's not really sustainable, and to get out of the constant low and to just sort of ride the wave of whatever you're going through and know that whether it's the high tide or the low tide, this too shall pass. So we have to be, you know, patient if we're in the low tide and learn the techniques and the tools and the strategies to help us get through them in a more balanced way. And to also understand that when we are riding that high, that this too shall pass as well. So we have to be feeling balanced enough to come down a little bit and be okay with that. So, you know, so I don't think it's about finding a perfect balance. I think it's about finding a balance that works for you in wherever you're at and being able to trust the process of life and know that whatever you are facing, whether it's good or bad, is where you are supposed to be in that moment. And to really just truly find and look for the lesson in why you are there. And the gratitude in why you were there. I was experiencing some, you know, a low tide, let's call it, in August. It was a very tough time for me, an emotional time for me. And instead of wishing it away and instead of being angry about it or, you know, resistant to it, it was difficult. It was hard. It didn't feel good. But I embraced it for what it was. And I truly was grateful for it, as painful as it was, because I knew that it was there to teach me something. And even if I couldn't see what it was in that particular moment, I knew that I was going to come out bigger and stronger and better on the other side of it, whenever that was. And because I allowed it to happen and I just sort of went with it, it what would have taken me, let's say, 6 months in the past took me three weeks. Right, to get out of it, to really feel like, okay, I've released that and I'm moving on, truly. And if I resisted it, I guarantee you I'd still be in it right now.
Oh, Carly, I think that's such great advice for everybody, and I think that's such a wonderful way to wrap up is to have that openness, to have that availability, to have that trust. And I love that you have the tools and the techniques and the know-how to do that. And I would so highly recommend to all of the listeners on this show that they find you and learn how to balance their life, which I think is just such a beautiful idea of being able to have it all, which is really what we strive for. That's what we talk about, the fairy tale and the dream coming true. And I really do believe from the bottom of my everything that that's possible. And that's why we do this show and bring on wonderful guests like yourselves, so we can offer these tools and techniques where you can have it all and you can have that life that you dreamed and you can really step into the joy and the happiness, and have your family, as you're saying, be an extension of that joy. And so it's just such a privilege and such an honor, and I'm so glad that we finally had the opportunity to have you on the show and to talk to all of our listeners. And I know that people are going to find you and their lives will be so enriched by working with you, as mine has been so enriched just by knowing you. So thank you so much for being
here. Thank you so much for the opportunity. I appreciate it. I really do. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. So Carly Cooper, what an amazing, amazing, amazing guest. And I'm so thrilled that she was finally able to come on, because I love the idea of balancing your life and what truly is balance and how we find that inner peace and that inner joy. And I think that's what we all strive for. So for me, it truly, it's like the cherry on the sundae. It's a magical gift. And we have so many wonderful shows lined up for you, and I so look forward to having you here on the show next week. And also we have coming up one of my very, 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 you know, you often hear me talk about those special, magical people on the planet. And we have Paul Sheely, Dr. Paul Sheely, who's coming on, and he is actually going to be a guest on both of our shows. He is coming on Unlimited Life, and he is going to be talking about photo reading, which I just think is incredible, that you can read thousands of words a minute, that you can actually even pick up a book and understand the content inside and how you can capture the images on the page and really be a voracious reader and be able to retain that for years and years. And he is coming on Hourglass Bride, and he is going to be talking about dropping in. And if you ever go to Learning Strategies and have listened to any of the paraliminal tapes on where the left and the right side of the brain communicate, he's really the base of that study. And he has a doctorate. He's just amazing. But he's going to be talking about, so many people miss their wedding. They're there, and then they say, I don't even remember that day. I was so busy. I was so nervous. I don't even know who was there. And how to be present on that wedding day, how to actually drop in, be there, appreciate, be able to see it all, relish it all, love that moment, love that day, and have a day that you can really remember and re-experience over and over again for the rest of your life. And so I love that he is going to be coming in, teaching us how to do that technique, how to actually be present on our wedding day, which I think is the greatest present there is. So that is Dr. Paul Sheely. So please stay tuned, listen for him. And again, for all of you that were so generous in all of your cards, your letters, your gifts, your wishes for the knighting ceremony, I so appreciate the love and support, and it is with this great honor that I really am stepping into the world to be able to help humanity in a much grander way, and look forward to helping all of you in the process by bringing you the very best guests from around the world and the very best information to make your life really the life that you deserve to have, and that all of your dreams come true in such a magical and special way. So this is Nicole Brandon with Hourglass Bride. We want to thank Carly Cooper, Balance the Motherlode, How to Reinvent Yourself in 8 Weeks, and all of the wonderful tools and techniques she gave us today. And absolutely, we're so excited for the guests from Sexual Intimacy that we have coming up, from How to Have Play and Fun in a Relationship, and, of course, Dr. Paul Sheely and How to Drop In and Be Present. So we look forward to seeing you next week. Have a wonderful week. This is Nicole Brandon and Hourglass Bride saying, may all your dreams come true.